Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your girl, Desiana Torres. I am so excited, y'all, that I am just taking the opportunity to really invest in myself and really take these episodes by myself seriously, because sometimes I challenge folks to be vulnerable, and then sometimes I'm still scared to be vulnerable myself. And so I want to be able to really engage in some reflective deep thinking. Okay, hear me out. About how we witnessed love growing up and how that really impacts the way that we love in our future or in our own relationships. And so if you've been listening to the last two episodes, you kind of understood that I came from a family that struggled with domestic violence. My parents' love, I don't want to say that it was always unhealthy. Like, there were definitely moments where, you know, I did witness my father, you know, being gentle and kind and things of that sense. My memory of it, if you want me to be completely honest, is still kind of blocked out from all the trauma that we've experienced with him during that time. And so it's kind of hard for me to remember. I know that there's other memories, but like in terms of like me pulling it out of my head, it's very limited. And so when it comes to growing up in a single parent household and also growing up amongst a family that was full of single women, y'all. When I talk about single women, I'm talking about my great-grandma was a single mother. Not by choice. I mean, her husbands had passed away. But my grandmother, Sugar Mama, was also a single mother due to a domestic violence-filled marriage as well. And then my mother. And then me, right? So when we talk about our access to love, what we begin to notice is that there were three or more, that I'm only aware of three generations, that struggled a lot with abuse. And my great-grandmother, my abuela, is someone who also experienced domestic violence in her marriage. And so when you look at the bloodline and you recognize how far these behaviors have come down, it starts to feel really heavy on you. For me personally, I began to always grow up with this mentality of fuck men. You don't need a man to take care of you. It was like that strong hyper-independence mindset that was constructed by my aunties and by my mother for obvious reasons. You know, they've had been hurt by men continuously. And so here I am, a young girl. Right? I'm waking up and I'm experiencing the world and I'm having these crushes, but yet I'm not trusting them fully because I know that what men are capable of. And so in my head, love was unknown, like healthy love, not any kind of love. Everybody knows you can go out into the world and experience any kind of love, but I'm talking about that deep, deep love that allows for you to enter realms of yourself that you have never experienced. And to maintain healthy communication, healthy coping skills, like all that stuff is truly essential in how we are able to maintain a healthy relationship. I personally did not have access to that at all. Not only did I not have access to that, but I also didn't really witness it either. So it's almost like, how can I want something that I've never had the ability to see how it worked, or, you know, were able to personally experience it? So I want to speak on that today, because I know that there are some folks listening today who also have not had the ability to witness a healthy love or experience what that felt like. So many of us have experienced a lot of trauma witnessing our parents' relationships, and we're starting to realize, like, damn, that shit kind of poured into us as well. And so when we love, we are reflecting what we saw growing up. And how can that damage or impact you know, the way that we exist in relationships. Because I can tell you one thing, I love hard, okay? I love so hard and so effortlessly, so compassionately. Like, I don't even know if that's a word, I just made that up, if it is. But yeah, I put so much emotion to the type of love I have because I love in the ways that I wish I was loved. I'm gonna say that again. I love in the ways that I wished I was loved. And so here I am navigating the world, being in my head the best lover, the best girlfriend. But I had a lot of insecurities, some that were built upon, you know, what I witnessed, but also some within my own relationships. And I want us to reflect on that a little deeper because let me just throw some things in there that kind of allow for you to realize how my love was shaped. So number one, music. Every time I listened to the kind of music that was like popular in my time growing up, it was very degrading to women. But then there were also still, at this time, still some love songs like 112 and all them that really gave me that idea of what I wanted to experience. Like, damn, I want somebody to wine and dine me, to rub my feet, to feed me strawberries, take me out on dates. Like, that kind of romantic love was something that I always aimed for because I saw it in movies, I heard about it in songs, but that was the only access I had to it. So here I am joining in relationships, and I had folks who were successful at being able to be romantic in that way. And so to me, I'm like, damn, I reached my ultimate level of love. Like, this is what I was dreaming for. This is what I was wanting. And at the end of the day, I started to also realize, like, but if it's supposed to be this good, why don't it feel good? Like, why are we arguing so much? Why are we yelling at each other? Why are we putting each other down? Like, it was behaviors that were full of things like that. And so I say to you that sometimes you even try to mimic what you see, and it's not always still going to work out for you, because what is unseen is what really exists in a healthy relationship. Like, how do y'all communicate behind the scenes? How do y'all compromise when it comes to certain things that y'all both are maybe be pulled different directions? But how do you come to a compromise? How do you, like, all these hows, how do you, like, that stuff right there, that is what I needed in my life for me to be able to experience a healthy relationship. Now, my journey getting there was not like I just went and signed up for a training for love. Like, it did not work out that way. However, I experienced what love was not. Anybody else here listening experience what love is not? Like, you're like, I don't know what the fuck love is, but I know it sure ain't this shit right here. That was my experience with love. And so with those experiences, even though I took hella L's, I invested so much time into folks. And when I knew it wasn't going to work, I didn't let it end. I still prolonged it. I was able to start to understand why it's important to create boundaries, why it's important to have a great understanding of what it is that you need for your survival when it comes to love, so that when you are in connection with someone else, you are able to let them know what it is that you need and how, like, what your love language is, like, all that stuff. You got to get to know within yourself. And I want to say, for me personally, it really started to make sense when I was single. So I stopped jumping from relationship to relationship, or even if it wasn't jumping into a relationship, I was always talking to somebody or allowing somebody to kind of like make me feel good. Text me in the morning, tell me I'm beautiful. Like, you know, we be using, I know I'm not the only one who use people to kind of get that, almost like to have people feed your pride and your insecurity so that you don't feel lonely and then you also don't feel insecure. So yeah, that was me. And it didn't work out that good, but I can say that there was some moments where I took a 2-year healing gap of no relationships. I mean, I can't say no for certainty because I was definitely talking to people still, but I really made it to where in my head I was certain that I was not dating or talking to date or talking to pursue something more than that. And when I would go on these dates, there would be people who would give me the red flags in the beginning. Okay, I'm gonna give y'all an example of this. There was a man, y'all, who was just hyping me up. Like, you so fire, you so dope. Like, I wanna get to meet you and blah, 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 blah. Like, all this stuff, right? And then, you know, was like, can I take you out? Mind you, I'm kind of hesitant about who I go out with. So I'm like, I don't really know. Like, you know, we only been talking for like a day or two. And I don't know. I'm still kind of hesitant about it. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give him a chance. Okay, let's just give him a chance to take you out, get some food. You know, same old, same old. There's still a benefit in that. So this person and I create a date of like, okay, this day I'm going to come through at this time and I'm going to pick you up, or we're going to hang out at this time. So guess what? When that day came, we're texting earlier, you know, so it wasn't like, okay, he hasn't hit me up. Like, we're talking, we're already talking about seeing each other later. And tell me why your girl gets ready. I get all dolled up. I, you know, if you know me, like, I was on a hair journey. Where I was trying to learn how to embrace my own, you know, my own curls. So I had to shower, did the whole hair care routine, like the diffuser. Like, if you know, if you have curly hair, you know that shit takes forever. So here I am putting so much energy into getting myself ready for this date. And y'all want to know something? He said he was going to come and slide through around 9 o'clock p.m. And 9:30 comes. And I'm like, no, 9 o'clock comes, no message, no, I'm on my way. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's driving and he doesn't want to text and drive. You know, like, I'm coming up with these excuses for him. How many of us do that? We come up with excuses for folks. Yeah, maybe they're doing this. Maybe, no, maybe they're just not really as interested as you thought or whatnot. So I'm sitting there waiting. 9:30 comes, still no message, still no communication. So by the time 9:30 hits, y'all, guess what? Your girl's already taking off her shoes, taking off her clothes, taking off her makeup. Like, at this point, I'm good. I'm done, because you didn't hold up to your word, nor did you allow for me to let me know you was running late. Like, nothing. And it wasn't like I didn't reach out. I reached out like, hey, are you good? Like, are we still meeting? And I didn't have no response from that. And this was like around 9:15. So, okay, cool. Waited another 15 minutes. Then once that 9:30 hit, I was over it. I'm like, okay, the lack of communication, ew. The lack of urgency to be able to, or the lack of accountability to, like, really be about your word. Like, the one thing that I hold people accountable the most is to your word. That to me is something that means so much. And so if you telling me you're going to pull through at 9 o'clock and it's 9:30 and you ain't here, no text, no nothing, I'm not there all the way. Now, mind you, the old me, the me that was insecure, the me that was really wanting to be in a relationship, not a relationship, but the me that was really wanting to, like, have somebody pour into my insecurities would have responded maybe a little differently. Okay. So the next day, this dude hits me up and he's like, hey, I'm so sorry about, you know, yesterday I got caught up. I got pulled into my boy's house and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, all, whatever excuse came out of his ass. Now, mind you, in that same paragraph that he sent me, he also said, I'm going to take you out tonight and make up for it. Like, I'm going to make it up to you. Like, excuse me? I was never so offended in my life than hearing, I'm gonna make it up to you. Because, mind you, the old me would have been like, oh, he recognized he messed up. Like, he's gonna give, I'm gonna give him another chance to really prove himself, because he's communicating that, nah, you see how we can easily just turn a situation into what it's not? Yeah, because your girl used to do that all the time, okay? So I read the message, I reflect upon it for a little bit, and I'm like, you know what? How do I best respond to this? Because I did not want to respond. I'm like, dude, you're not even worth my time anymore. And I'm not even going to give you that satisfaction of a response. But a part of me was like, let his ass know that he fucked up. Like, you don't play that shit. So guess what your girl did? I did respond. Okay, but hear me out. This is what I said to him. I said, the fact that you already think and have an assumption that you have a second chance shows to me that this is a common behavior of yours that you engage in, where you don't keep your word. And I was like, I'm someone who, my soul and my existence is such a gift that anyone who comes in the presence of it You know, it's intentional. It's I grant people, folks, permission to be in my space. And the fact that you, number one, didn't even communicate that you were coming or that you were running late is a red flag to me. Number two, the fact that you really sit here and think I'm gonna give you a second chance just baffles me, because how on God's green earth did you think that that was gonna allow for me to want to give you another chance? And so in this message, I'm also telling him, like, your first impression is everything, and you've already shown me that you lack communication skills, that you're not a man of your word, and that you are a man of excuses. So with those red flags already, I'm sorry, but I have to, actually, I don't even think I said I'm sorry. I just said I have to eliminate myself from this and, you know, really push for what I deserve. And so I wish you the best, and you are a cool person. You know, I really hope the best for you, like, and I ended it. And so I didn't receive a response for like a year. Surprisingly, a year. And the only reason why I say a year is because, mind you, I deleted this person's contact and everything. I felt good about that message. I was like, yeah, bitch, we holding boundaries now. Like, this is what it's about, because I felt like I was stepping into my power with those kind of boundaries to protect myself. But those came from witnessing what I did growing up, and also what I experienced in my own traumatic love. Not even all of my love is traumatic, but like, just people just not really being there like they said they was gonna be. And so yeah, a year later, I get a message, and it was from that dude who said, he basically was letting me know that moment of me calling him out on his bullshit has really impacted and changed his life, and he navigates himself way differently, and blah, 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 blah. To which I'm like, you know, that's cool. Like, you know, I got the message, I read it. Did I respond? No. I didn't respond because, number one, like, I just, what am I going to get out of responding? Like, nothing. So, yeah, I share this because I want us to be able, especially as women and men, to be able to really begin to push forth with demanding the respect and the decency that we deserve. And so if you are someone who has always neglected the red flags, because, you know, we see them, they show their flags nice and clear. They might decorate them, bedazzle them or whatnot to make them look good, but you know a red flag when you see one. And so I want us to move with awareness of when they reveal themselves, and to take that seriously, because if I was to continue to put myself in that situation, let's say I gave him a second chance, bam, he really did pull through, blah, 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 blah. Let's say the next time something else happened, guess what? He's going to continue to utilize, well, all I got to do was sweet talk her and apologize, and I'm going to get what I want. I'm sorry, baby, but it do not work like that with me no more. And so I want folks to also have that kind of mindset and mentality when you're navigating love, because we deserve it. Because we never had access to that before. Because you are worthy of being able to hold limitations about the love that you want and that you deserve. And no one else can really take that from you. You know what I mean? Like, they gonna try, don't get me wrong. They for sure gonna try to, like, take advantage of how you exist in the world. But at the end of the day, it's really all up to you. Who you allow into your space. Who do you allow to love you, to see the most innocent yet most purest parts of yourself. All that is really essential when it comes to love. And so when we reflect on, okay, did I have access to healthy love growing up? Okay, if your answer is no, I want you to begin to reflect on, what did you witness growing up? What was your access to love? And then in what ways is that showing up in your current dating behaviors? Are you dating for that romantic relationship that you've seen on TV that I was also looking for? Are you convinced when folks apologize and come back with flowers, like, and don't hold accountability? Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that folks can't fuck up in a relationship. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you got to move with intention. If you're not moving with intention or being inclusive to the feelings of other people, then you are being selfish. And when you're moving, being selfish, then I don't feel safe with you. And so it's almost being able to understand, okay, if this is the kind of healthy love that I want, how do I build those dating behaviors to get there? Number one, what I had to do is I had to really separate myself from that false reality of what I thought love was. And then on top of that, I also had to heal and journal about all the shit that I witnessed growing up, about all the shit that I experienced within myself, to be able to understand myself when it comes to love, okay? And I'm gonna challenge folks who are listening today to discover, why is it that you love the way you love? What are you afraid of when it comes to a relationship ending? Are you afraid of being alone again? Are you afraid of processing another, you know, almost what could feel like an abandonment situation? You know, are you just running away from feeling like you are a failure and that that you are unlovable? Like, what is it that forces you to tolerate the unhealthy and toxic behaviors that can come from folks who are not really ready to love? And so I say all this to share that love is so beautiful. Love is so powerful. Love is so gentle. It's kind. It's patient. It's frustrating also. It's also sometimes challenging and everything else. But what it's not is it's not disloyal. And it doesn't hurt. It shouldn't hurt to love. Love can have some experience where you're angry and mad at each other. Yes, of course. But when your soul is hurting, I start to question, is this something that's really for me? Is this something that I want to feel for the rest of my life? I got one life to live. And is this how I want to feel for the remaining of it? No. If it's your answer is no, then you already have that self-awareness that you deserve something way more better. So yeah, I share that story of, you know, when I was able to hold, you know, the dude accountable while also holding myself to a higher standard. It felt good. And I strongly believe that it is one of the reasons engaging in those kind of behaviors and recognizing flags right away is what got me to really experience the love that I'm in now. Okay? It taught me how to exist in this healthy love, because if I would have went in with my toxic self too, that shit would have been a mess. I would have ruined more healthy relationships than I would have damaged them. And so, yeah, so I really challenge folks to be able to love in the ways that you want to be loved while also taking care of the ways that your heart has been hurt in love. And so, yeah, so that's all I got to share, y'all. I appreciate y'all so much for listening. I love y'all so much, and I really pray that everyone has a safe and blessed day.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.